Back to John 13, chapter 13, and we're still dealing with salvation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that at all. But he's given us some information here that I wanted to add to my little one-word salvation thing according to the book of John. And I put salvation. And it's from God's Son, which is the most, when you look at things, God's Son is really the most of the dealings that's going on in the world up from then till now. And from God's Son to bondservant. And a bondservant was someone that got took into servitude either by birth or by someone stating it away and all. But now a lot of the Jews were taking it as bondservants, and they went all over the world. And I got to thinking about that a little bit. And I thought, well, you know, God doesn't do anything without a reason. And the reason, I think, for this bondservant business, or to be, have his people carried away in servitude, is to be able to teach others what these bondservants know in these places where they are brought into servitude. If the master would stop and listen to him, he might get a little bigger thing out of it, and it might help the bondservant's situation a whole lot too. Because this could be a segue into the truth according to the God's plan and purpose for the world, for this world. And so I put, it goes from the most to the least. And I hadn't really thought about that a whole lot until I got to this point in the study. And of course, that's happened more times than I can count on fingers and toes. So I see this, beginning to see it better. And some of these questions that was asked by Christ, or as he was teaching these folks, you know, and he says, he asked the question in the first verse that we're going to start with, is saying, do you know what I've done unto you? And he said that when he started washing their feet, the disciples' feet, because they're at the Last Supper here. And we're dealing with the supper, and a lot of this stuff is supper stuff where they're sitting around the table. And I know you've seen pictures up on the wall of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. And here's these individuals in certain places there. And this is John giving us a picture of this in writ, in holy writ, that these people can make takeoffs of and give you a picture of what it looked like at the Last Supper.
Yeah.
They didn't have a camera there. Now, there was no cameras in that day. And so
that ain't a photograph.
They didn't have, but they had a verbal photograph.
Yeah.
This is what we're basically going to talk about tonight. If you've never really sat down and give it a little thought, you might need to. And so I'm going to try to help you just a little bit. It's something that you got to get it in your mind before you can really see it. But here we are. So we got down to John 13:12, and this is where we're going to start. And how far we're going to get, I don't know. I've got notes all the way to the end of John 13, but I'm not thinking we're going to get anywhere really close to that tonight. We might not. So it says, and here he has, well, let's just go back up. We'll start at verse 10. And Simon Peter's made a statement in verse 9. Because Jesus had already washed some of them's feet. But he gets down to Simon Peter. Verse 9 of chapter 13 says, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Because Simon Peter had made a statement, and Simon Peter has made a lot of statements in Scripture. But some of them he kind of got dressed down for. And he got dressed down in this one. Because he says in verse 8, thou shalt never, but by no means, wash my feet. And so Christ asked him, said, Peter, answered him, if I wash thee not, according to Jesus, he said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And then Peter had to think about that a little bit. And then Peter had to.
I don't think Peter realized how important that really was.
No. Well, he didn't know the answers to a lot of this stuff. None of these disciples seemed to know as many answers as I thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's always the case.
And he says, Lord, Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Wash me all. Give me a bath. Well, generally speaking, the feet was the thing that would get the dirtiest when they went from one house to another or one place to another. And so it was the feet that was, it gets the most dust on you. So here you are. Then verse 10, it says, Jesus said unto him, he that is washed or bathed, and bathed there is, appendix 136, note the distinctions between the washing the whole body and washing only a part of it, because here was the washing and the part washing. So, if you want to look at it sometimes, you can go to 1 Corinthians 6:11 and see the difference there. And it says, and not save to wash his feet, needed not to save to wash his feet, but is clean. And in the Greek, that's the word kataros, to every whit. And then there's a note on that in verse 10, and I read that last week also. We won't read it again. But in 11 it says, for we knew who, but we knew who should betray him, the one who is betraying him. Therefore, or because of this, He said, we are not all clean because Judas is still there. He's still at the supper. And so, but Jesus was making a statement here, and this is another statement that these people didn't understand. Because they did not know from the scripture who was going to betray Jesus at that time. They was looking around at each other. We'll get to that in a minute. But this was another thing that really got me. And when I said, well, they were with him these 3 years. It's been 3 years since he chose these people out. Could they not figure something out in 3 years? I mean, if you living with somebody day and night for 3 years, you get to know them pretty good.
Mm-hmm. You would think.
That really bothered me a little bit, and it still does. You can tell it from my voice. It still does. But it's like some of these guys have got such a detracted sense of being that they're just in, kind of like they're in Never Never Land, so to speak. Then we get down to verse 12. When he said, you're not all clean. Well, there was one in there that wasn't. Verse 12 says this, and I'm going to read it out of the King James, but I'm going to change it just a little bit. And it says, so after, I'm going to change that to when, therefore. When, therefore, he had washed their feet and had taken his garment, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Well, I think that's a pretty good question, because if they didn't know some of these other little things, he's still going to have to shake them up a little bit. Because they're going to get shook up, I think, when they finally see, you know, what's coming down the road here, because they don't know yet. And therefore, was in therefore, because he said unto them, know ye what it is, or it is what I have done unto you. So you could go either way with that question, because he is talking about something that they haven't known yet. This is their rhema for today. Rhema is a Greek word for something that these Jews had not heard yet. They didn't understand yet that, about some of these things. And one of these things was who the one was that was going to betray him. They didn't know about a lot of this other stuff that they needed to have understood and didn't. And I really can't get over that. It bothered me so much when I started making notes here.
Yeah.
And I can't help it. I just can't help it. Of course, now, you know, as time has gone by a few thousand years, or at least 2,000 years and some, and, you know, we have gained the way we look at things sometimes a little bit. But I will go on. It says, you call me or address me. Calling and addressing is two different words, but they sometimes mean kind of close to the same thing. But we'll talk about this. You call me or address me as Master and Lord, full stop. Okay. So, some of you say Master, and some of you say Lord. Well, the two different words carries two different general meanings. And the in the Greek, there is the word phonos. Phono. P-H-O-N-O. Phono. You ever wonder why we got our speaking thing we talk into all the time and we call that a phone?
That's where the word comes from.
Well, that's where it comes from. Always used of calling with the voice. Phone. P-H-O-N-E. Now, if you, and it says, see Appendix 98. And if you want to look at that, 98, and I think it was XII. And the other one was, XVI. There's two of them here in this thing, because calling is one with a voice and teaching is another. And it says, and Lord is out one, out 98, Roman numeral VI, little I, and A, and then 2A. And that is translated master. Or we use that as master in the English, but in the Greek, it's didiaskalos. Didiaskalos. And that means teacher. Yeah. Okay, you can be calling somebody or calling their name, and that's voice. And you can get their attention with your voice if you call their name. And it may be for teaching, or it may be for correction, or it may be for just asking questions. Or doing whatever is needed to be done. So, here, master, it was the first one was master, it says Appendix 98, XIV is 14. And then the other one was out 98, and it was, Roman numeral 6. IA2A, meaning master. And, that's the word, didaskalos, the teacher, a master or teacher. Well, the other one was Lord. Generally, if you're wanting to get a hold of Jesus, you could call him Lord and he would answer you. And so that's two different ways of making this thing work out. And he says, when he said, you called me or addressed me as Master and Lord, that's true. One of them is teacher, is master, which equals teacher. And the other one is Lord, which he is the Son of Man. He is the Lord God.
Amen.
He is God's man and man's God. So, it says, for so I am. I'll answer to either one. I'll be either master or Lord. Whatever you need, this is what I'm here for. Then we get down to verse 14. Well, he says, you know, he asks him, what have I done to you? And here we go. Let's just get a little deeper. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash another's feet. So, he has washed the Master or the owner If you're Lord, then you're owner. If you're master, you can be owner also. And one is to one and one is to the other. So he is saying this in 14. This is a double whammy here. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet. He's looking at them now saying, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. You ought to do the same thing. You ought to be able to do the same thing. You ought to go from high to low or low to high.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what I've got in here. He says, if I then or therefore, here's another therefore, if then the master and master have washed your feet. If you're a master or you have a master, wash your feet. Ye also, ought to wash one another's feet. The act of feet washing is put for the whole circle of offices of self-denying love. He's saying, well, if you're in the office as being part of God and being part of his group in that office, you ought to do to each other what ought to be done, whatever it is. It's not just the feet washing, but it is the taking care of each other. We're our brother's keeper. That's what's being said. We need to take care of our brother.
Yeah.
And if the Jews would have done that the way they should have done that, they wouldn't be in the mess they're in. Really, when you get right down to thinking about it. Because they allow a lot of stuff to happen that they could have probably have done better in that situation. So we get down to verse 15. Jesus said, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. What kind of greater example would one need than what Jesus would do for them? He wasn't going to do anything for them without expecting them to do the same thing for the rest.
Amen. Yeah.
All these things that was put into the law in Deuteronomy, just think back and to realize, you know, that you got to do this for your brother. You got to do this for your neighbor. You got to do this for the love that you need to show toward God and toward mankind. It's all this is an example. And he says, okay, I did what I did for an example. I took off my clothes. I got naked. And I washed and dried you off with the towel that I had. And he says, that's something to think about. Because the next verse gets down to truly, truly, or rarely, rarely. 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So he said, my Father sent me to you, and I'm using this as an example that if he sent me to you, told me to do this thing, then you ought to be able to do it without even thinking about it or asking. So I guess he's answering some of these questions around from verse 12 where it says, what is it that I've done to you? Do you see how important these things are becoming? I mean, things like I've heard of feet washings before. Been to one or two in the Westland Church for Grandpa and them. They used to have feet washings in the Westland Methodist Church. So they'd pull off their shoes and get these pails around and they'd wash your feet and do all this. And I'm sure they were looking at the book of John when they was doing this. I'm not sure, but I can't remember that. But here we are. And then verse 17. It's a little short verse. It says, if you knew these things, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So, he's as much as saying, you know, you didn't really understand this foot washing business. But you remember when Jesus started his ministry, they had these pots there for the foot washings. Guess what Jesus done? He turned that water into good wine. I mean, excellent wine.
Yep.
And they thought, man, this guy.
He's been holding out on them.
See, he's been holding back the good stuff. Well, the good stuff comes from God. You know, that.
As usual.
That's as usual. That's the example. That's our example. You know. So, lots of times it only takes a little part of a verse like that to make sense to what is going on here. So, here we are. We have laying out the groundwork into this thing, and then we'll get down to verse 18. And let's see, verse 16, I wanted to go back and say in 16 that the servant is never greater than his Lord. He should be submissive to whatever his Lord wants done. Otherwise, there wouldn't be no balance within the framework of that. You know, if you were a servant, you were always against the master's will, you're not going to get along with him very well. He's either going to kill you or trade you off or somewhere, you know. So that was the reason for the 17th verse. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. You know, if you don't have to do them, you might as well be gracious about it because there ain't nothing you can do about it. In that sense, then verse 18 says, I speak not of you all. Full stop. Whoa. I speak not of or concerning you all in verse 18. Well, let me go back, and it says in the Greek there that concerning is the word peri. And the app is 104, XIII-1. Let me change that. I speak not of around. Peri there means around. It's not diameter. It's not going through, but it's going.
The diameter, the, yeah. the perimeter.
The print sees of the circle. Yeah. Perimeter is the circle. And that means round. It's just, it can be boiled down to one word, round. I'm going to read it that way. I speak not around you all. I know whom I have chosen, full stop. See, he's the only one here that knows who is going to betray him. And so he's about to lay it, he's about to lay it out, but he has such a way of doing it, it just blows your mind almost. He said, I'm not speaking to you, but I'm speaking around you.
Yeah.
We're just talking in the circle now, okay? I know whom I have chosen. Stop, think about that a minute. I know something you don't know. That's another rima. That means he knows something that they've never really thought about or heard before, but he's fixing it. He's about to put it on. It says, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled. And here's a quote. Psalms 41:2. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. The bread I eat is equal to my bread. And this comes from a pastoral letter of an Egyptian bishop about 600 A.D. That means after Christ was crucified. On a captive abstraction. So there was a captic abstraction made there, and this verse is quoted from the Septuagint, he that eateth my bread, and he is a man, he is a light from the ancient East. And that was on page 215 of the note there. And it says, against, and 18 there, talking about against. And that was at 104, IX is 9-9. So 9-9 and 18 there was talking about a point to be reached. So what that man wrote in about 600 A.D. is in scripture. And the point here is about to be reached. So this is another part of this rhema that they didn't know, probably, had not ever read it. Couldn't have. They couldn't have because they were the ones here with John at this point. This was back right before Christ was crucified. Okay. So, that's another thing that they didn't understand. Now, you got a lot of nows in this scripture. And so we get to 19. It says from now. Now equals from now. And we got another, at 104, which is 3, And that is the word artha, artha, meaning that I tell you before it came or come. That when it comes to pass or happens, that you may believe that I am he. You can omit the he here, and I read this out of my notes, and I'll go back and look at verse 19, and there's two he's there. Now I tell you before it comes that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. No, it's just one. But it's still, it talks about he and the bread. He said, I am and the bread equal the same thing. That's the way that worked.
Well, remember he said, you tell him, I am sent you.
Yeah, I am the bread.
Meaning that
I am whatever it is.
I am God.
You need to understand. Okay. I tell you before it comes that when it comes to pass or happens that you might believe that I am he. And it said you can't omit the he here. And they give you an app for that. It's 150 Roman numeral 1 and dash 1. And three little eyes. So he said, I'm telling you things now that somebody will read 2026. So yeah, now it's coming to me. I am he. I am the bread. He's not only the bread. He's the light. He's the water. He is whatever is needed here. And so we get down to verse 20. In verse 20, there was not anything here that needed a change. And this is the 19th time that and I made a note here that said no extra word or a point to be made in this verse.
Yeah.
You don't generally find that without, especially now as far as we've gotten along here, this is getting very close to his death day. Coming up the next day. So he says in verse 20, this is what we're talking about here, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth ye, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. So there is nothing there that needs to be changed. I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receive me. So that's just like, if I send him, that's just like me coming. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Because that's what God wanted done. There ain't no reason to change any word there. He said, if I do it, and if I send somebody, you receive him just like it was me, because it's the Father's will that he's there. Is there anything about that verse we don't understand?
Amen.
I couldn't. I looked at it and thought about it a little bit, and I said, well, I can just quote it word for word in my notes because I don't need to change it now,
no. So,
or add anything to it or take anything
that's
away.
The best ones, yeah.
At least we got one thing settled there on that. Verse 21. Let me read it to you. It said, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily. Again, here's the next verily, verily. I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Oh, here's this bombshell. This is kind of the one. They're going to start looking around. Who is it? Who is it? They ain't me. Who is it? You know. Okay. When he said he was troubled in spirit and testified in John 11:33 about the spirit there, and that was at 101, Roman numeral 2 and number 2. And said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Well, let's look at the word spirit there for a minute. And that was in 21. Okay. And John there, in 11:33, let me turn back there. I'll turn back there and just read it, because it ain't but just 3 or 4 or 5 pages back. John 11:33 says this: when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, talking about Mary, when he comes to see Mary after he had waited to the fourth day, she was weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? He come to do something that man said could not be done. If somebody had been dead 4 days, he's dead. And Mary was weeping, and so it made Christ weep. So, if Jesus can show human
compassion,
then everybody ought to be able to show human compassion along with godly trust. Okay? In that situation. And so, the spirit is the word pneuma, with no article in the Greek. It wasn't the spirit, it was the spirit, just no. Spirit. Because Jesus was showing the same spirit that you and I could do. If we come up on one of our friends that was grieving, to console them. That's pretty clear that that's the reason that was there. That's another example that we have been given here. So. And this is the 20th time that verily, verily has been said here. Verse 22. You know, I said, things are going to get kind of hectic here. It said, then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake.
A little confusion.
They didn't know. They had been with, all these 12 had been together basically. They had been broken up into little groups, I know, and went hither and yon to wherever it was that Jesus wanted them to go. And I'm sure they had maybe changed partners some, because that would be another good way to learn these things that they didn't know, but evidently it didn't work out too big. too good. But blepo is the word here in 22. The disciples looked on one another, blepo. And this is Act 133, Roman numeral 1-5. I'm 22. And it means to look with the eyes. And also, this other part of this verse here, the blepo takes two or three characteristics here. You can look with the eyes, and it also means the act of looking even though nothing has been seen.
Like trying to see something.
Yeah, trying to see.
They're looking at each other like trying to see who the bad guy is.
Yeah. So this is the situation here. You know, they are dumbfounded as to they don't know. They just, what they're doing is showing that they admitted that they don't know.
Yeah.
And this is what the blepo means. You can look and see, and that won't tell you anything.
Yeah.
It has to be tried and proved, you know, in that sense. So, there's just lots of things here that we just read something and take it for granted. And never really go back and look and say,
yeah, it's a pretty solemn situation.
This makes sense, but it makes sense. You know, let's go to 23. It says now, here's another one of these nows. You don't get so many ands, but you get now. So meaning that and is something that you would have known, should have known already. But now, there's going to be a new understanding, okay?
Yeah.
So anytime you see that now, means it's right now. We're talking about this right now, okay? Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, who's that?
I think it was John.
Huh?
I think it was John.
John. Yep.
But in the course of the story, he tells it like in third person.
Yeah.
Because he's the narrator here.
Yeah.
In the whole thing.
Okay. Now there was leaning or reclining. Anakameia, generally translated, sat at meat. This is, you can compare this with, it says with verse 28, we ain't got there yet. So when we get there, we'll go back and bring it up, hopefully. Maybe next study. Reclining on a divan, or a couch. His head toward the Lord's bosom. So John was in the favored position. So it was John, see.
On the Lord's right hand.
He was, yeah, on the Lord's right hand. Judas being on his left. So he didn't turn toward Judas. He did. He ain't let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
You know, so. And he says, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved on, in Greek, en is as in verse 11 that we started out with in verse 11. So I'll just turn the page back and we'll go back to verse 11. And it says, for he knew who should betray him. or the one who is betraying him. And he said, you're not all clean.
Yeah, because the betrayal was a...
And it was sitting...
It was already in motion.
And it was sitting right beside, between John and Judas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Judas is going to get the sop. He's going to get the little portion of the meat that's put in the gravy. And he says, who gets that will be him. See, so it wasn't going to be John. So he's between the one that has a lot of forethought, I think, with these 12. I think, you know, Simon Peter, he can't. A lot of times he has to be dressed down a little bit, but John don't mean that he don't get dressed down very much, but you got these two people. And so we get the picture here. Okay. John's on his right. And the other one, of course, was Judas was on his left. And the word bosom there in the Greek is kolopos. Then in verse 24 it says this, Simon Peter therefore became restless. And he beckoned to him Jesus, either signed or nodded. In the Greek, that was new, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. So Simon Peter just couldn't wait. He was beside himself. He's always been that kind of person. He had that personality. He couldn't keep anything back. I don't think he knew. I don't think he could keep a secret if one was given to him in that situation. So that he felt like that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And I'm doing this now because we've been going back to these appendices to see what these things meant, but most of this now is just the scene, and so it's not that big a deal because you seeing what is here.
Peter's kind of going,
John, ask him who it is.
Yeah. You're up there close to him. Y'all are tied. Ask him.
Yeah. Tell him to go ahead and get with it.
Yeah.
We need to know.
You're right. I don't think he could stand it. He probably wanted to know if it was him or not.
It says, he then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? So evidently he answered Peter a little bit.
Took the hint.
To that point. And it says, he then lying or lying back, not the same word as leaning as in verse 23. So talk about they were pretty close at that point. Peter was beyond Judas and leaning back, signed to John behind the Lord, on Jesus, that was on Jesus' bread. That word epi is the word for on. In the Greek, in the Greek, it is stethos, not the same word as bosom, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? He asked the question. And I'm going to do 26. I could stop here, but I'll just go ahead and do 26, and then we'll start back there with this same verse next time. I'm going to write a little line under it. And it says, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped his sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon." Okay. It's out now. It doesn't seem like, let me do my notes. Jesus answered, "He it is whom I shall give a sup." When? In the Greek, it is phimon. It's P-S, spelt with a, explained with an F, B-F-O-M-I-O-N, phimon, meaning a morsel. Only here and in verse 27 and 30, it was a mark of honor. Think about this. It was a mark of honor for the host to give a portion to one of the guests. The Lord had appealed to the conscience of Judas in verse 21. Now we didn't.
Well, that's in John 13:21. He had appealed to the conscience of Judas in John 13:21. Yeah, now he appeals to his heart.
Okay.
Yeah.
He said, now he appeals to his heart. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon.
So now Peter knows.
So now Peter and all the rest of them that were sitting around the table knows. And so the reason that it was done this way, because he had appealed to Judas's conscience first, and then he had to appeal to his heart to make him do what he was supposed to do. It had already been known. It had been known by Jesus ever since he chose him. But here again, these things are given, and it's not fully understood till some kind of reply or some kind of an answer, a definitive answer is given that they might know without having to to think about it.
Well, here you go, you take it. That's pretty good indicator there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When he said that,
kind of removes all doubt when he does that.
That stopped that right there in its tracks. So we'll just leave it there and we'll pick it up again and go on because there's 8 or 9, I guess, more verses to this thing. And, but it gives you a pretty descriptive picture of how everything was. So somebody with good imagination and reading all this and knowing about the dress code of the day, it wouldn't be too hard for them to come up
with. Yeah, the way the Holy Spirit revealed it to John, the imagery is enough to paint a portrait from.
Yeah.
That's
it amounts to.
Exactly, yeah.
And
not that they always got the portrait exactly correct.
But it worked out that way. So I got that far to give it a little bit of clarity anyway that we now know quite a bit more than we knew an hour ago, is reading all this stuff. Because sometimes just reading it don't get you very far. It's a lot of times you have to stop and look at these things to see what the words mean and what the tense was or what the verb was and this, that, and the other to get it down to a point where, you know, now this makes a lot of sense. Fix you.
Yeah, stop and smell roses.
Thank you for being with me.